Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
So we got an email into the show, jen@rte.ie, from Tara Louise, and she wanted to share her story with us about her journey to overcome postnatal depression in the hope that other mothers don't go through what she went through or what she had to go through. She's come all the way from Donegal and she joins me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for making the trip, first of all, and thanks for sending your email. The stats are kind of frightening. We were just talking about this off air. 15% of new mothers get postnatal depression. I mean, that's the ones that are diagnosed and that we know of. I would presume, in my opinion, that it would be a lot higher than that, just speaking to friends and family, people that I know, because it's something that's not really spoken about, isn't it?
No, it's still quite a taboo. And I think it's more of a fear as a mother.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to say to someone is like, I do love my child, but you know, and yeah. it is that but.
So there's a Liverpool accent there. Explain yourself.
Yes. So I am originally from the Wirral, which is just over the water from Liverpool. And I moved over to Bundoran 14 years ago, came for a summer, and I'm still here. I now married, 3 kids, a business. So I'm sucked into Donegal life now.
It's beautiful up there.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely.
There's something about Bundoran. It sucks you in.
Tell me about the fella.
He's good. He's a good fella.
He's a keeper.
Well, I can't get rid of him now. I'm married to him. So as you were saying, the divorce this morning, I was listening to it on the way up. Not that I'm going to divorce him. It's a horrible way to tell him. But no,
it's so difficult to do it now. So, yes, I know, don't bother.
That's a lovely way to start this off. He's brilliant. He's put up with a lot. I will say that he has put up with a lot.
So let's go back there. Let's talk about your story, because you've 3 beautiful kids now. Can you tell me about your first pregnancy?
So my first pregnancy with JJ, who's my oldest, he will be 10 and 11. And I was just turned 22 when I found out I was pregnant. And before that, I was a typical young 20-year-old, obviously working, partying and stuff like that. So it was a massive adjustment for me.
Yeah.
And obviously I was in Bundoran, so I was away from my family as well. So it was quite a daunting time. Like, my in-laws were brilliant. You know, they did make me feel part of the family. And even though I was still quite new to the family, you know, I was no different to anyone else. But when I did have him, I can't pinpoint an exact point where I was like, okay, I don't feel well or I don't feel right, because I was like, oh, this is normal. Maybe you're meant to feel like this, like the baby blues. And then it wasn't until my husband was like, you're not yourself. Like, you're really not yourself. Like, you know, what's up? I was like, oh, nothing, just had a baby. Of course, I'm different. Like, you know, of course I'll be different.
This is what happens. The baby blues, yeah. As you said, this is all my emotions. I'm not getting any sleep. But why? So it was, he saw something in you, or he didn't see you. He said you just weren't
yourself.
Yeah,
you're just different. But I kind of knew myself. Like, you know, before that, I don't think I did have anxiety looking back. But before that, I didn't really know what it was. Mm. But once I had him, I always kind of had an anxiety. Like, you know, if I always thought like, oh, people are thinking I'm a bad mom. Or like, you know, oh, I'm bad at this, so I can't do that. Or she's too young. She doesn't know this. She doesn't know that. When in fact, no one's ever said that. That was literally just me telling me that. And it just kind of kept playing. And I let that win. Like, I let the voice in my head win to say, you're a bad mom. You know, your baby's probably better off without you. Your husband's probably better off without you. When that was never the case.
Tara Louise, did it stop you from living your life?
It did. I didn't really. It did and it didn't. Mm. Like, you know, I didn't want to do stuff just in case people were like, oh, you're a mum now, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, when like, I still would. I always had a drive to kind of do something, and I always thought like, oh God, if you know, if I'm a woman who wants to go and do things, you know, obviously I'm a bad mom. I should just be at home, like minding my children, like my child, not wanting to go off and start a business or do this stuff. But I always kind of had it. I wanted to do that as well as still being a mum.
So tell me about the symptoms of this. So severe anxiety.
Yeah. Depression. Just not wanting to do anything. Not showering. General health. General just everything. Mm. Just gone out the window.
And how did you, obviously you love your baby, but your feelings, was there a resentment towards your baby?
No, there was. I didn't have that. I wasn't resentful of him. I was just more scared that I was letting him down.
Okay.
That was more of a thing. You know, I was more worried that I would do him damage. Like, you know, if like my mental health would go on to him, you know. And it wasn't so much resentful for him. It was the worry that I just wasn't good enough for him.
So you just were not happy?
No.
How long did this go on for?
Ages, ages. I did eventually go to the doctors because my husband was like, you need to go and speak to someone. I did go to the doctors and they make you fill out a form and they totted up how many numbers and like, oh yeah, I know you're depressed. And I was like, right, okay.
What's it like hearing that?
I think I already knew it, but I was kind of still in denial maybe. And especially because there wasn't, I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know if it was the doctors give me a big hug and go, oh no, like it's okay. But it was more kind of like, right, okay, you've got postnatal depression. Like, here's some like medication. This is what we can do for you. And I was like, right. And then they're like, okay, go on then. Go and be a mum again. And I was like, oh, right, okay. And that was kind of it, really.
Did you want to take that medication?
No. I took it for about a week. And then I was like, no, just get on with it. Suck it up. Stop being pathetic. You know, just that was the mentality in my head. Like, you know, just go get on with it. All mothers are going through this. All mothers are like this. Everyone feels like this. You know, just what makes you so special, or, you know, that kind of talk in my head. So I just didn't take them.
It sounds exhausting. That chatter in your head. It sounds, you know, it should be the most magical time of your life, you and your new baby, and you're going through this and you can't stop it or talk yourself out of it. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So then you had another baby.
Yeah, I had Kian then. So there's just under 2 years.
Okay.
And he was 9 yesterday. So I had him, and then I kind of went the other route. I didn't, when he was born, I kind of was like, right, okay, this is my baby. Like, you know, and I wouldn't let anyone touch him. I was very aware of people wanting to like pick him up or wanting to come and see him. And because obviously with your first, you show them off. Like, and I felt like I had to take him everywhere and I had to be like, oh, he's my baby. He's my baby. With the second one, I was kind of like, yeah, he's a baby. He's mine. You know, and I was very protective of him and myself.
Did the postnatal depression continue?
Yeah, I always kind of say it was like a top up. Like, you know, it's kind of just a, but again, I didn't go to the doctors this time. I didn't want to be like, oh, woe me, or, you know, I didn't want to draw attention to her. I was a mother of like 2 under 2. Like, you know, I had to have something about myself together, which again, my poor husband had to pick up.
Do you think there's a pressure out there for women to suck it up and for, you know, we're expected to just get on with it?
Yeah, I do. I think there is, especially then, like, you know, that was 11, 9 years ago. I think it is a little bit different now. I still do think that there is that pressure. You know, you've got the Instagram perfect mums, which is filtered to, like, you know yourself, it's filtered. It's not perfect.
It's not real.
It's not real. But mums then, like myself or other people who are not in good positions, we see this and go, why can't I do that? Why do I not look like that? Why am I not doing this? And it's the same with everything with social media, or like with body and everything else and mental health.
Parenting is the same. It's not talked about enough. Yeah, you're dead right. You know, we see it all the time. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. So you didn't go to the doctor on the second one. You're still going through this this sickness.
Yeah.
You know, how bad did it get?
It got, you know, I'd like to say manageable. I think it just became part of my personality at that point. I think it was just who I was. You know, I was just Tara, mama too, wrecked, tired, like every other mother.
Unhappy.
Unhappy and yes. And yes and no. Like, you know, there was kind of happy to be a mother, love being a mother.
Of course.
But in myself, not happy, like deep down inside, to like the core of my own personality probably. So it did become a part of me and just who I was. And I did have a tragic loss literally a few months after Kian. And the grief from that, again, I didn't deal with. I just piled it on top of everything else. And I was like, right, okay, autopilot, let's just keep going. And sure, it'll be grand. And, you know, we're just doing this, building and building and building.
When stuff like that is building and building and building, there has to be a point where it
blows.
Explodes or blows. What was that point?
It was in 2016. It was, so we just got married in August. So outside looking in, it was perfect. You know, we just got married with 2 beautiful kids. We have a lovely house. On paper, you'd be like, sure, what she got to be. But inside, I was just so numb, like, and so dead. Like, obviously I enjoyed my wedding day, but we've only one wedding picture printed from our wedding because I physically can't look at them because my eyes are just dead. You know, I was happy, but inside I was just so broken. And that's nothing to do with anyone. It wasn't to do with my husband, wasn't to do with the kids. It
no,
was just
of course not.
My mental illness.
Yeah.
So October, World Mental Health Day. Again, my husband, literally 2 days before, I think I threw a picture frame at him because it was anger that was my release. And he was like, please go and go to the doctors. Please go and talk. Like, you really need to go. And you've had a lot going on now the last few years. Go back to the doctor. And again, went to the doctor and the same thing, you know, here's some medication and there's a massive waiting list. So look, we'll just see what we can do. And I was like, right, okay. And then November, I just had enough. Just couldn't take it anymore. I was tired. I was exhausted. My head had got way gone from me. I wasn't even myself anymore. My thoughts weren't my own. I ended up going into a psychosis, was hearing voices, ended up then trying to end everything. And was literally sat on my kitchen floor going, why has it come to this? So, yeah.
That's a long time to be feeling like that.
Yeah. It's a long time to keep it in. No one was aware how sick I was, not even my husband. Because even when it happened, when I'd had enough and I did what I did, he was like, why didn't you tell me? And I was like, how? How do I tell you? Like, how do I explain this? You know, so even through therapy, I just brought him into my therapy sessions because I was like, I don't know how to talk. I don't know what's just happened to me because it wasn't me. Mm. I completely lost myself. So the only way I could explain it to him and explain it to myself for us to have a conversation about it was to bring him to my therapy sessions.
With a therapist, yeah. Yeah. So was that it? Was that the point where you made the right move to get the help that you needed?
There was no other. I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
I ended up going to hospital. There, I got taken away in an ambulance. I had to go up to the hospital. I was in A&E. Mm. Obviously on a come down trying to get myself back.
Yeah.
Was put into the mental hospital up in Sligo, which is the scariest thing ever. And was literally the worst 72 hours of my life. Like, literally. But it also was the best looking back because I realised at that point I actually didn't want to die. I just want the pain to stop. You know, so.
It's phenomenal to hear your story because, you know, just going back to what you said earlier on about baby blues, and you hear this so often, don't you? And then 15% of new mothers that we know of get postnatal depression, and it's something that is just not dealt with properly, and it can build and escalate and get to the point where the sickness just overcomes absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Your husband sounds like an absolute gem, by the way.
Yeah, he needs a medal now, you know, he does.
But he's there. Yeah. He was there for you and and going to therapy with you, I'm sure that was huge.
Yeah.
Huge thing. You went on and had another gorgeous baby.
Yeah, so I did years of therapy.
Years of therapy.
I
years.
Was like, I'm not leaving. I'm just not leaving. Give me all the therapy.
Do you mind me asking, was that expensive for your family?
We did it through the HSE.
Okay,
we couldn't afford. So I obviously quit my job. I didn't leave my bed for 6 months. My husband was literally doing everything. He took the kids to school. And my turning point was literally my oldest at the time, JJ, come up to me and went, are you dying, mummy? I was like, no, why? And he's like, all you do is sleep and cry. And I was like, I need to sort my life out. I need to get up. So I was like, get me into therapy. Get me into CBT. Get me into everything. And I plagued the doctor. I was like, I'm not leaving. Just give me that.
How come that didn't happen sooner? Because you were clearly were suffering with depression before.
Yeah.
But, you know, this waiting list that you spoke about. I mean, it's sad to hear that it took that moment, you in your kitchen on your floor, you know.
It's extreme.
It took that to get you the help. And it just seems like an awful waste of time.
Yeah. But I'm still on a waiting list for to see another therapist that I need to see. Mm. And there's no one in that job. So they've literally said to me, we don't know how long. And I've been on it now for 3 years.
Wow.
And they're like, you know, and I can't afford to go private. And even going private, there's a waiting list for them.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people with mental health problems, especially now after the last 2 years.
Yeah.
There's just not the staff there for.
So you've, with the HSE, you did years of therapy there. Mm-hmm. How did it feel? Did it take a while? Like how?
Oh, I hated it. I hated it at the start because I was like, I'm not talking about this. And I was like, if I talk about it, it's going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm reliving it and bringing it up.
But that's not the case.
That's not the case because once you get over that step, you're kind of like, I was looking forward to therapy. Like I was looking forward to Thursday morning. I was like, drop the kids to school and I'd go to therapy and like, you know, it'd be great. Some weeks, yes, it was hard. But I made sure that that day was a me day. Like I wouldn't work, I wouldn't do anything just because I didn't know how I was going to react to whatever was in that session. But it was the best thing I ever did. The CBT therapist that I got was amazing. Like, you know, I still have her number on my phone. She still texts us to make sure that I'm okay. And she stayed with me the whole way through my pregnancy with Alina. You know, she was fantastic. So yeah, there is, once you get with them, you know, there is good ones, but I didn't like it at the start.
Fair play to you for sticking with it and doing that work on yourself. That's an incredible amount of work you've done on yourself. Can we talk about Alina for a sec? Because this gorgeous kid comes along, but there must have been huge triggers or anxieties about going back to that place, was there?
So the minute I found out I was pregnant, obviously you booked the doctor's appointment. And the first thing I said, I was like, right, I'm pregnant. Get me back on my team. And they were like, oh, and I was like, I'm not leaving until I see you see that, send that email that I am back on that team. And I said, and I want a call by the end of the week. And they were like, right, okay. And I literally, I was like, because I was still kind of in with them a little bit, I slowed down like the process. So you only see them kind of once a month.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I have so much anxiety around being pregnant. I have so much anxiety around getting sick again. I'm not letting this happen. I've done it twice before and it's not happening again.
Isn't it an awful shame that sometimes it is true that those who shout the loudest, you know what I mean? Look, you had this, thank God you had the strength to say, listen, this is what I need.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's lots of women out there and lots of people out there who don't have that strength to seek that help.
Yeah.
Demand that help.
Yeah, because I did a lot of research. Like as well as the therapy, I went and looked into hypnobirthing. And I did that whole meditation. I did that all through my pregnancy as well. I was with a lovely woman called Siobhan and she was fantastic. Like I told her my story and she was very good. And I would see her nearly weekly. And like, you know, she was that good that when I did go into labour, like I was just asleep the whole way through. And the midwife was like, geez, are you all right? And I was like, what? And she was like, you're having a baby. And I was like, passed out. But yeah, all the way through my pregnancy, I was very aware of myself, but I kept my pregnancy hid, like not from my family. Just I didn't put it online. I didn't do the big baby reveal until literally 3 weeks before I had her. I put something up then because I was like, this is for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't need to show it off. I don't need to parade that I'm pregnant. I don't need to do this. I'm going to do it for me and like that and for my family and do it the way that I feel comfortable with.
And did you go back to that place after she was born? Did you suffer the...
No, I'd done too much on myself. Like, you know, I was like, you know, I had it just as the boys were breaking up from school. I was just coming into the summer and I was already doing the hypnobirth and I still was in my therapy. I was still being CBT and I kept that up till about she was 9 months old. So I had that whole process. I had made sure I had everything in play.
A couple of texts I just want to read out to you that have come in. It says, hey Jen, me and my wife are due a baby soon and I have fears that she may have postnatal depression. Obviously, I could be completely wrong, but what could I do as a husband to help if this does become a reality? I just want to be there and help if needed. Any help on this would be much appreciated. What would you say to that husband?
I would say just watch out, just watch, but don't pressure, because I think as a woman, you don't realise you have it until you're at a certain level. And for someone to keep going, are you depressed? Are you depressed? Are you depressed? You're like, oh my God, will you stop? Like, you know, so help in doing just the general things like the night feeds, the bottle feeds, like if she's breastfeeding, supporting that way. And then just watching her and giving her that time to still be a human. I think when we become a mum, we forget that we're still us. To give her that time to go for a walk or go for a shower, you know, just her own space so she can actually remember who she is for a second.
You don't want other women to go through what you've been through because a lot of time wasted, really. If anyone is listening and thinking, that's me, like this texter who just texted, this girl is absolutely amazing, so brave, speaking about her journey with depression. She sounds exactly like me. We need to talk about this more. What would you say to that person who texted in?
Just talk. Mm. Find someone to talk to. It doesn't have to be a therapist. Like, you know, I have a very small group of people who I can... And it's hard. That first step to actually go, I'm not feeling good, is the hardest step you'll take. But once people know how you're feeling, you'll get the help and the support. So it's just talking and being aware of yourself as well, and not feeling you're not a bad mum if you are depressed or if you have postnatal depression. It's far from it, because you're so strong, because you're still raising a baby and fighting your own demons, you know. And it's okay and safe to say, I love being a mum, but it's hard and I'm kind of struggling. You know, and I think that's really what I wanted to say, was you should feel safe enough to go to people and go, I'm really not doing okay.
Your three gorgeous kids, Alina is two.
Mm-hmm.
Is she absolutely wrecking the gaff?
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She's everyone wrapped around her little finger. She's a little princess.
I can imagine. Tell the listener what you told me off air about what your dad said to you about Alina.
Oh, that was my karma. Because everyone was like, oh, you know, girls are different. And I was like, sure, I have two boys. It can't be any different. I was not prepared. The attitude. And my dad was like, That's your karma.
That's your karma. That's what you get. Well, you've three gorgeous kids. You've helped a lot of people today. Thank you so much. What a story. What a thing to go through and come out the other side. And I just commend the work you've done on yourself. It's phenomenal. Texts are still coming into 51552. So thank you so much for that. Tara Louise, your story is remarkable. And the fact that you've come out the other side, well done you.
Thank you.
And I just want to say to you guys, if you've been impacted by the chat, you can call the Samaritans anytime, 116 123, or you can visit their website, or you can just go see your GP. We'll be right back after these.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.